Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Amen. Pray that all is well in this sanctuary. That's why we must always invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. Amen. And good morning. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning. And welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, We would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Our daily bread, our devotional message for this morning is entitled, Grow Strong. Amen. And the scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and it says, many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Praise God. Revelation 21 and 23 says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Amen. 2 Peter 3 and 13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Let us, again, the title is Grow Strong in the Light of My Presence. As my face shined upon you, you receive nutrients that enhance your growth in grace. I design you to commune with me face to face, and this interaction strengthens your soul. Such communion provides a tiny glimpse of what awaits you in heaven, where all barriers between you and my God will be removed. This meditative time with me blesses you doubly. You experience my presence here and now, and you are refreshed by the hope of heaven, where you will know me in ecstatic joy. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it was to me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. At this time, we're going to say good morning to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. Good morning, Lord. Amen. So, I just want to say that the Bible says, hallelujah, Jesus, in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a word from the Lord. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this morning?
Blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen.
And God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank Amen. You. Amen.
Blessed.
Back to you, Mother.
Amen.
Amen.
Look like it's going to rain today, huh?
Yes. They said so.
Amen.
But
praise
I'll be
God.
Inside, so it don't matter.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for being inside. I was thinking about some of them people in the shelter, you know, outside that they might have a home, you know. They might
yes.
be out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I know.
But we just want to keep them in prayer. Amen. Praise God. I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We're so glad to have you here this morning. Amen. And we hope that all is well with you and your family. You know, we know that there's a lot going on with the pandemic
yeah.
and with what's happening in Afghanistan, you know. But we hope that all is well with you and your family this morning. I just want to let you know that our visionary, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Nadine, they send you their love and their
Amen.
Greetings. And they hope that all is well with you. Amen. Praise God. And I just want to turn to Evangelist Hilda and just thank her for her faithfulness on this HMC Ministries that she comes on, and she opens up the program from Tuesday to Saturday. And she brings sweet hour of prayer, and she brings a message sometimes Thursday and Friday. We also thank God for our Sister Barbara, who brings a lesson on, I believe it's Wednesday. She brings
Wednesday.
A lesson on Wednesday. Amen.
Amen.
And she's going to be on right after I go off. She's going to be on with some beautiful poetry.
Amen.
Our own Sister Barbara, she's going to be on with beautiful poetry. And our First Lady, she gives a lesson on Tuesday.
Yes.
So you don't want to miss these things that's coming on. And also, Pastor Kathy and her husband, they're going to be on with Talk in the Sanctuary right after this program. Amen.
Amen.
And Pastor Kathy also brings a message on Thursday. Amen.
Praise God.
And I just want to, right now, want to give a shout-out to Apostle Jackson, Dr. B. Turner, and Prophetess Washington. I want to give a shout-out to them. I hope it's all is well with their families and their ministries. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. So right now, you know what I'm going to say. I always turn my attention to Father God, the Most High God, Father God. Amen.
Amen.
So right now I'm going to say a prayer to Father God, because God likes to acknowledge that he exists. Amen.
Amen.
He likes to be acknowledged because he's a spirit being. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world. You could be in Russia, China, India, Africa, the Ukraine, England, France, Spain. You could be in the Caribbean. You could be in Australia. Wherever you are, if you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, we're going to come together as one. Because when Yeshua comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen.
Amen.
Coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And right after this, I'm going to just sing one song. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. So let us bow our heads. Father God, Most High, we give you the highest praise, for you are worthy of all honor and glory. We glorify and magnify you. May we love you always. May we walk with you in the secret place. May we put you first and foremost in our lives. May we obey you and remember all that you've done for us. May we learn who you are and never forget the power of your might. May we focus our eyes on Yeshua and reverence his name. May we always be led by his spirit and not by the flesh. May we always maintain an intimate and personal relationship with you, Father God Most High. May we not forget the unconditional love that you have for us. And even though some of us do not return your love or believe that you exist, you reign on the just as well as the unjust, and you are no respecter of persons. We thank you for Yeshua and his shed blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the consuming fire. We thank you for your warring angels and your angels, our guardian angels. And we thank you for our enemies. And most of all, we thank you for Yeshua. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to serenade Yeshua. Amen. I'm going to sing
Amen.
A song to him in the name of Yeshua. I'm going to sing a song to him. Amen. So if you know the song, you can sing with me, and if you don't know it, it's okay. It's an old song, so I'm quite sure there's some of you out there that know this song. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you, Yeshua, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you, I love you, I love you, Yeshua, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, And I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we should praise him. Amen.
That's right.
Because he went to the cross for us. Amen. He died so that we might have a right to the tree of life, that we might be able to enter in to God's presence and have a personal relationship with him without bringing a sacrifice. He became the final sacrifice, and he fulfilled the law.
Yes, he did.
That's why we have law and order. Amen? Because he fulfilled the law. Amen. Praise God. He was our example. He was our example.
Lord.
So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today, and I'm going to say a short prayer before I go into this word today. Amen. So you can get your Bibles, your paper, and your pencils out if you choose to do so. Amen. Father God, Most High, I thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today. Because the enemy comes to steal and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you for never giving up on us and having patience with us, because you are a God that is so long-suffering. You have so much patience with us, Lord, even though some of us turn our backs on you, Father. Father God, as I go forth today, I ask you to protect the word as it goes into their spirits. And as I go forth with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may be all of you and none of me, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So today I'm going back to what I was talking about last week. Amen. About a commitment of obedience. Amen.
Amen.
My scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 26, and that's verses 36 to 41. My scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 41, where it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. because he knew that his hour had come. Amen.
Amen.
Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we thank God for his mighty word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, last week I talked about Adam in the Garden of Eden, and how Adam, when he was tempted, that it was his own will. He didn't look at the will of the Father. He went after his own will, you know, and his wife Eve. Amen. His own will. And then Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, even though he said, not my will be done, but thine, he was telling God that it's your will be done, not mine, even though he knew he was going to be going to his death. Your will be done and not my will. Amen. So today we're looking at a commitment of obedience. One second. Commitment of obedience. And our focus was on the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Our focus was on the devil because God does not want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Some people say, well, why focus on the devil? We have to know what is happening with our enemy. Amen. You can't be, when you're a soldier, you know, you have to know some things about your enemy. You can't be ignorant. You can't be ignorant. So the devil has an army just like God, but he's no match for God. Satan is no match for God. Amen?
Amen.
He can only do what God allows him to do. He's no match for God. The devil has made nothing but trouble and problems leading to sin and death. That's what's happening in this country. God is not the God of this world. He's the God of the Israelites, but he's not the God of this world. A lot of times we wonder why so many things are happening in this world. Why is there so much corruption? All these things happening with the government, you know what I mean? The stealing, the robberies. The mindset of people, it's because we're born into sin and iniquity. And this world belongs to the devil, the prince. He's the prince of this world. Amen. The only thing that he's not in charge of is the Israelites. God governs the Israelites, but the devil governs this world. Amen. He governs this world. And that's the reason why we have so much sickness and disease and everything in the world. Amen?
Okay.
The
Amen.
Devil does not want the best for us.
No, nope,
he wants to destroy us, destroy you. He does not want you obeying God or his word. And you'll do all kinds of things that you don't be obeying his word, obeying God's word. You'll do all kinds of things. And he definitely does not want you bringing people who are lost to Christ.
That's right.
He don't want you bringing people to Christ.
Don't.
He doesn't want you to show love.
Nope.
I wonder why the devil doesn't want you to show love.
Because he
don't know nothing about love.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You
Amen.
See, the devil comes into your thoughts with the intention of messing up your relationships. He comes into your thoughts with the intentions of messing up your relationships. One of them being marriage, where he brings in a thought of boredom, adultery, abuse, and abandonment. Amen.
Apostle Mother Wiggins, excuse me.
Yes.
You're having some problems with your phone.
I don't know. It's all right with me. What do you hear?
It's like your voice is muffling a little.
Oh, really? Maybe I need
okay,
to turn it down.
It's okay right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to turn it down a little bit and see. Is that better?
That's fine. I'm sorry, but just wanted to make sure the message get out.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much. The devil is not interested in love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's not interested in love and compassion. He's only interested in the pretended kind of love. You know, the deceiving kind of love where you have an agenda. The love that you show to a person that is not genuine. It's not a genuine love. It's a pretended kind of love where you either want something from them, from that person, or you want them to do something for you. And so you give them the impression that you are so in love with them. Am I all right?
Go ahead, Mother.
You give them the impression that you're so in love with them that you can't do without them. You see it all the time on TV where people fall for scams on the internet. I saw a case on TV on Dr. Phil's program, where a woman was scammed out of a large portion of her money.
Yes.
Because she fell in love with a man who was sitting in an office in Nigeria.
Oh, my.
On the computer, scamming people and having them wire money to him.
Mm-mm-mm.
See? He gave her the impression that he was so in love with her that he wanted to have a permanent relationship with her. And she fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
She fell for it. He had an agenda, and love wasn't on the list. His agenda was to get as much money from her as he could.
Mm-hmm.
The woman was being fooled by a deceiving spirit that was operating through the man. Amen?
Amen.
And nobody really could convince her that he wasn't for real.
Exactly.
You know, but Dr. Phil on the program, he exposed him. You know what I mean? They investigated him. They
mm-hmm.
found out where he was. You know, and he wasn't the only one. They just had a room set up with people in it that called people on the phone from far distances.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And act like to get money from them. And he was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The devil wants us to be at odds with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The devil wants us to be at odds with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We as Christians have noted and had discussions on how the devil uses our families, especially those close to us, friends, associates, and people in our churches to sow discord among the brethren. And that's what we have to be aware of.
That's right.
He will give those in your church circle a thought, and they think that it's their thought. So they run with it, and they act on it, not knowing or realizing that it's from the devil. And it sows discord in the church. This is a picture of how the devil sows discord when he pits one believer against another. He stirs up chaos, confusion, and disharmony. He's happy about it when you're not speaking to one another or forgiving one another. Did you hear what I said? I said the devil is happy when you're not speaking to each other and you're not forgiving one another.
Yeah.
This means that he has accomplished his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
He's accomplished his goal. This type of behavior also hinders the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom. Because when people see you at odds with your brother and your sister in Christ,
mm-hmm.
it sends out a bad example. Amen.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're not forgiving each other.
That's
if you're
right.
not forgiving each other. It sends out a bad example to other people. So it hinders the kingdom of God. Maybe they was thinking about coming into the church. Maybe they was, you know, maybe they was thinking about giving their heart to Christ. You know?
Yes.
So that's what the devil does. He separates and he scatters God's people,
mm-hmm.
and we fall for it. We
yes,
fall
we
for
do.
It. A lot of times we fall for it. We don't realize it's the enemy doing it. The devil studies you, and he knows your weak spot. You hear what I said? I said the devil studies you, and he knows your weak spot.
Yes.
Did you know that he studies you and he knows exactly what you like that is in opposition to the will of God? Let me repeat that. And he feeds these thoughts into your mind in hopes that you will grasp hold of them so that you will move in the flesh instead of the spirit. And carry out your will instead of God's will. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to destroy you and bring you down from where God has placed you. God
yes.
might have placed you in a high position. You mm-hmm. might be a pastor. You know, you might be a teacher. You might be an elder. You might be evangelist. You see,
Amen.
But he wants to bring you down. That's what
mm-hmm.
it is. That's why he does all those things, because he wants to bring you down from where God has elevated you to.
Yes.
You see, he wants to bring you down even to death. Amen. Because the wages of sin is death. It could be death to the body, or it could be death in your spiritual life. Your death with God, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what happened with Adam in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
First it was a spiritual death, and then mm-hmm. it was a physical death. Once the devil has a grip on you and control over your mind, he will look for your weakest area and begin to manipulate your actions. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop here. Amen. And we can continue with this next week. Amen.
Amen.
So I hope you enjoyed what you've learned thus far. Amen. That you're learning the devil's tactics, what he does. Amen. So right now I turn it over to Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Good morning, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and bright and highly favored.
Amen.
How are you all doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed your... Praise God. We got a little echo. I just want to tell Mother that I enjoyed her sermon, and I would really wish she would come out on Wednesday night for basic theology, because that is our topic of discussion. We're talking about the adversary, Satan. Amen. Mm. So if you get a moment, come back out and join us in our discussion on the book of basic theology about Satan. Amen.
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 All right, I'm going to go and read a poem from my book entitled The Profundity of God, a Spiritual Anthology in Poetry. And the poem that I'm reading this morning is entitled, I Already Know. He's sweet. I already know. You know, he knows, she knows, they know, we know. For a fact, we all know that our God is sweet. He woke me up this morning. It wasn't the clock's alarm. I don't even use one. He put food on my table. I don't live near or on a farm. He gave me eyes to see, gave me ears to hear, gave me a heart that beats and put running in my feet. He's a mind regulator. He can calm my fears. He takes up for me and takes my side. If I keep my mouth shut and stand still, he's peace in the valley, a bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon, and on and on and on. And although his throne is in heaven, he's really not very far. He's honey in a lump. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He is my sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
He's delightful, delicious, the lovely and divine. And the thing I just love about him most is that he's all mine. Yes, you see, he's my personal savior. And yet he belongs to you, him, her, they and them. Excuse me. And all of this, he makes each one feel loved and special, just like they are his alone. Our Almighty God, our Jesus, he's got it going on, and he is so sweet. This I already know. And if you didn't know, now you know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless
God. Love it. I love it.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful,
know.
Sister Barbara.
You know it now.
Amen.
Wow.
Praise God. That was beautiful.
So fitting. Thanks. For today.
Ah, please.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen. So right now we're getting ready to have a call to salvation. If there's anybody out there that want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this is your time now. Amen. This is your Amen. Time now if you want to give your life to Christ. Amen. All you have to do is repeat this short prayer after me. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Jesus, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
In Yeshua's name, amen.
In Yeshua's name, amen.
If you have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. When you said that prayer, something happened. Amen. And as time goes on, you see that something has happened. Amen. The Holy Spirit is residing with you now. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, if you don't have a church home, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word and grow and have fellowship with other believers. So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy, saith the Lord. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. So that, truly, Mother, that was a wonderful word this morning on being obedient to God. I'm sorry. I'm not a person that multitasks.
What you said?
I said I'm not a person that can do two, three things at one time. I get swayed away. Yeah, but anyway, I was searching for a song to close us out on this portion of our service. And while we're getting ready to go into the second service, I have no idea if Pastor Kathy will be with us or not. I didn't hear otherwise. So anyway, I will be expecting. And if not, Sister Barbara, if you can have a topic or anyone that you would like to discuss this morning.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to play a selection to close us out of this part of our program as we get ready to go into the second part. Praise be to God.
rejection, walking in the light. I'm in the presence. I'm taking off and fly. My Savior's on high. My spirit's on high. I'm living.
After 11, and I don't hear anything from Pastor Kathy at this time. So, Sister Barbara, do you have a topic that you would like for us to discuss?
I don't have anything special. If anyone else has something, I could think of something, but go on.
Okay. So, Mother, do you have anything that you would like to talk about?
I don't know. You want to talk about something political? Want to talk about those people that got left behind in Afghanistan?
It doesn't matter what's the topic. Political, religious, that's what it is. It's a talk hour in the sanctuary.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I guess I was thinking about those people and how they got left behind, you know, you know, where some of the soldiers got killed over there now, you know. I haven't heard in a couple of days. That's where my mind really was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said I haven't heard anything either. You know, a lot of times I try not to watch too much news, but then because it doesn't matter what you're watching or listening to, everything going on today is nothing good at all. I mean, you know, we're going through the hurricanes, mm-hmm. we're going through tornadoes, mm-hmm. earthquakes, the viruses, and it's like every time you hear is like this state is have certain amount of thousands of people infected, and yet the more they plea with the people to wear masks, it seemed like the less people wear them. I don't mm-hmm. understand why. If you, I mean, this is to protect you as well as your family or even the people that you go around. So why would you not want to wear it?
Well, you know what I don't understand. Sometimes they say the mask is really needed, and sometimes they say you don't need the mask, it doesn't do anything. I mean, they go back and forth with this thing.
I know. That's the
one
problem.
One minute they say they need it, then they don't. You don't need it. You need it. You don't need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all of that. Go on.
What you say, Sister Barbara?
When you finish, I want to say something.
And then they used to say that the young children don't you know what I mean? They're not affected by this virus and all of that. Now they want them to wear masks in the school. You know, they want them to have a mask on. But they mm-hmm. but they just go back and forth. They need it, they don't need it, they don't need it. So you don't know what what's going on. You know, one minute you need it, the next minute you don't need it, you know. You don't know what it is there, you know.
It's causing a lot of confusion among the public, but I just want to say that the scientists are not certain either. They're learning. They get new things, information, and one mm-hmm. day you don't need it, and the next day they feel, oh, wait a minute, it's more virulent than it was before, so you do need it, and whether you've had the vaccine or not, if you're going to be in the public, if you're going to be around your family or a lot of people, you need to keep the mask on. So to avoid all the, you know, whatever, I think we should just stay masked up. Whatever they say for now, just stay masked up. A lot of times, even though you're isolated and just don't even come in contact with a very few people, it's mm-hmm. still... And it has still come in to people who live alone. They've contracted the virus, and they have died. I was listening to, I think, CNN last night. This woman said she and her husband contracted. No, it wasn't. It was 12 o'clock, that show that comes on after Kimmel.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a woman who was still in the hospital, I believe. And she said she and her husband had contracted it, but hers was more severe than his. His seemed, you know, mild enough that he could stay home. So they hospitalized her, gave her all the oxygen and IVs or whatever she needed. And when she was in the hospital, and he never responded. So when she did go home, she found him deceased in the bedroom and body decomposing. So he had it. And again, it's an asymptomatic disease. He had it, they knew it, but they didn't know that it was that severe to the degree that it killed him. So like mm-hmm. I said, we have to continue to wear the mask until it's gone, until this pandemic is gone, until this COVID-19 is gone. If you're indoors and it's you alone, then that's something different. But if you're with anybody indoors, I think you still need to kind of mask up. If you're both vaccination, you know, it's a little, I think, safer, but they say you can still contract it. It just won't be as severe. And neither the husband or the wife in that situation had been vaccinated yet. So that plays a large encourage people to do it. I finally got mine. I got my first shot last Saturday. And I have to say, I was hesitant. I was reluctant. I didn't want to do it. Don't know enough about it, and neither do the scientists. But when they're saying that you can't go into public places and you're going to have to show your COVID card indicating that you've had it, vaccination, I kind of thought, well, you know, I like to do things and maybe I will get it, you know, restaurants, what have you. So I did do it. And it was like a pinprick. It was so small, you know, so intrusive that I don't like to look at needles, so I had turned my head, and it was over before I'm like, that's it? And she was like, it's a long needle, but it's been a lot of people, and I was asking her things, you know, are there side effects? And she said, well, some get side effects the first shot, and others don't get side effects, and some get more severe side effects with the second shot, and some don't get it. So it varies. I had a little soreness of the arm, just a little, maybe a day or two, and they encourage you to exercise that arm. Don't leave it just limp. You know, use it so that I guess whatever has been injected into you can spread around the body. So don't be inactive. Don't just go and, you know, do nothing. And another person that I know said her daughter got her second shot last Saturday, the Pfizer. But when she went home, the daughter had itching, she had rashes, she was just miserable to the point that she called her mother and told her. And so they were saying, well, let's see, you know, if it doesn't get any better, we're going to go to the hospital. And so she also told her daughter that, you know, call me at midnight if nothing's changed. So, because she texted me to ask me to pray for her daughter. So I'm like, of course, yes. So I did pray for her, and I texted her a short prayer on the text messaging. And she let me know that the daughter was doing much better. And the next day, she was even more better. But she did have a black and blue bruise where the site of the injection was, you know. But pray better. And I'm just saying, you take your chances. You don't know. But it's better to have it, I think. I'm not an expert. I don't pretend to be one. It's better to have it than to not have it. Whether you live alone or, you know, social butterfly, and you're out with everybody and, you know, his mama and his daddy, you need to just kind of, and don't stop wearing the mask, even with the vaccination, because we know with this Delta variant, there are no symptoms.
That's
you may
right.
get to lose your appetite, but it goes almost directly to your lungs where you contract pneumonia. It's a quick killer. So we just want to encourage, make up your own mind. I'm not saying you have to do it, but, you know, make up your own mind and decide something quickly, whether you want to do this or not. And it's also to save others. If you have it and you don't know it, you can be a spreader.
Yeah.
You know? Addict. Don't feel nothing, and the next day they're dead.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any side effects when I took mine. Also, like you said, that first day, just a little soreness, and, you know, that wasn't really nothing to even talk about, because I get that same little soreness when I take the flu shot, you know. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I protect myself and the kids whenever they come to take it, or whoever, you know, comes to
they
my door.
Want to hug you and stuff.
Exactly. And I make sure, no matter if I'm going to the garbage disposal, I put my mask on, because, you know, you don't, you never know. It could be in the air. It could be
It is
on
the air.
Different surfaces. I still spray my clothes down when I'm going outside. So if I pick up
Don't change. That's what you start doing from the beginning. Don't change. It has not gone away. A lot of people say, oh, when the pandemic was. No, it's the pandemic is still
That's
here.
Right.
Oh, when the wake up. And I just want to say, I just want to say this because I'm going to get off in a little while. One of my side effects, like a day or so later, was I was hallucinating. Tell people that I took a nap. I wasn't resting for the night. But when I woke up, my room was dark. I think the TV was on. And I saw like a creature, like an alien. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Sigourney Weaver entitled Alien.
Yes, yes.
Well, I didn't see the movie, but I saw the trailer. And yes. When I looked up, one of those was in my room.
Okay.
So, you know, I was cool. I blinked my eyes a couple of times, and I looked again, and it left. So, I said, it was just it was just, praise God, it was just an illusion. But that's the only thing I have.
You.
I think I got that twice, not with the same alien. But it was something else that I saw. But that's all my, you know, that was what I got from it. But it could have been worse, you know.
It could have been, but thank God that it wasn't. Because now I know how I felt when I took a medicine that the doctor prescribed for me for the fibromyalgia. And oh, my goodness, I tell you, every picture on my wall was all demonic spirits. And I was like, OMG, honey, you talk about somebody calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus was probably saying, well, I hear you. I see you. Stop calling so much. I couldn't stop. Jesus, help me. Telling you. It's funny how, you know, you can take a medication and it could do those kind of things to you. And people saying like, oh, it's demonic spirits. Yeah, they demonic because the medication that you just took brought them out. They inside. Yesterday when I was talking about the man that had all the demons inside of him. And it's funny, like they were saying in the scriptures and stuff that a legion is, you know, like the Roman legions of soldiers, it's like 2,000 to 6,000, you know, soldiers. And this man had, it was like 2,000 swine or pigs or whatever you want to call them. And
demons.
So all those, yes. So all those demons were inside that man's body.
Right.
Over 2,000 of them. And
yep.
And the thing is, it right? So when Jesus came and the Spirit said to him, "What do you want of us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And he said to them, "Get out of him." Mm-hmm. And they was like begging Jesus not to kill them, and they saw the pigs and asked him to put them inside of the pigs. Now, if that many spirits was living in that man and he was tolerating all of those spirits and those pigs, the spirits went into them. And if you do the math, it's like three spirits into each pig, which was 2,000 pigs.
and they couldn't even tolerate three. And imagine this man tolerated over 2,000 of them.
Right.
And they went into, the pigs couldn't stand it. They went into the river and they drowned and they died.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing
When you really analyze it and think, that is really nothing but God that could do something like that.
Absolutely.
And he tolerated it to a certain extent, but
right.
he was like a hunk. Nobody wanted to be around him because he was demonic.
Exactly.
You know, so he had symptoms of being possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when he tried to confront Jesus with it, that's what happened. You know, he got the demons cast out. And
yes.
they ran into a swine, and they
yes.
jumped over the cliff and died. So that's what happens.
Yeah, but imagine, to see all them, I have maybe 6 or 7 pictures on the wall, and each one of those pictures had a demonic spirit inside of it. That's why I don't like horror movies. I don't look at demonic movies. I don't look at anything that is scary. Because why? I don't like the darkness.
But you know something? And when I had told that to someone else, they said, well, what movie did you see? I didn't see any horror movies. I didn't watch, you know, anything horrific, particularly nothing called The Alien. So I don't know where it came from, but I just say, you know, because of the vaccination, it did something. But that vaccination does a lot of things to people that it messes with their mind. It messes with their memory. It does things.
Wow.
Yes, I've talked to people. The COVID itself messes with people's minds.
Yeah,
and I think I heard somewhere that they said it would be a long time before they totally get, you know, rid of whatever side effects came from or were attributed to COVID-19. But I know I was speaking to one lady at the beginning of the pandemic, and she had contracted it. She was from one of the churches that I attend. And I asked her, she was on the phone, and we were talking, and I said, so where are you headed or something? And she said, you know something? I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. I forgot where I'm supposed to be going. And this is a busy woman. She stays on the but at that moment, because of the COVID-19, she was over it. But the side effects still remain in her mind. And even today, I saw her not long ago. She still has that kind of forgetful spirit. She was looking for something, and she happened to mention what it was. I said, oh, isn't that it in your hand? And she's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, maybe that's what happened to my caregiver, you know?
Well,
I'm saying maybe that's what happens to my caregiver because she had her shot too, and she said she something had really bad happened with her. You know, she almost died and stuff like that. But she said that. But I noticed that she forgets things. You know, she forgets because see the vaccine does something to your cells inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, with the vaccine is that it has a fallout from your body.
It has a what?
I don't know. A fallout. They call it a fallout, like a, I don't know if it's the virus that falls out of your body. Something happens. And that's why a person that's been vaccinated can still infect somebody that's not, you know, that doesn't have the the virus. You could still infect somebody else. They call it a fallout. A fallout comes from you. So maybe that's too why a person should be wearing a mask. Because even if people take the vaccine, they still could give that the thing to somebody else.
Yeah, they could still get it themselves.
Right, because they even said so, even though you had the shots and you contract the virus, you still can pass it on to other people mm-hmm. who have not had it, or even those who had it.
That's right.
So you still have to continue doing the same things mm-hmm. that you were doing when the virus first came out. Wash
exactly.
your hands. Keep your place clean and disinfected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spray your doorknobs every time someone comes to the door. Or even with you, if you touch your doorknobs and things too, spray them and wipe them down, you know. That's why they mm-hmm. invent all these different things. But some people, you know, they get carried away with the disinfecting nonsense, you know, with the mm-hmm. bleach and everything. I mean, I was looking at this program where this lady, right, was making collard greens. And you know that lady poured Clorox bleach into those greens and washed them?
Oh, please. Wow. That's terrible.
Now, who
I mean,
in
that could get into
right
our system
is going to eat those greens with bleach in them?
Well, hopefully she washed the bleach out of them.
Well, hopefully she didn't serve it to anybody.
But you know they're going to eat it. Why is she washing it?
Oh, my God.
See, that's
but I know when I was being educated, they suggested that we could even use like Tide to wash
mm-hmm.
the green because
oh, no
it
way.
Has chemicals mm-hmm. on it. So yeah, at one time I would put soap detergent in there to wash my greens. You know, I stopped doing that. Huh?
I said I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I did that, and so once you wash it off, you can see whether the suds subside or not, so you know
mm-hmm.
that it's no longer, you know, sudsy. No, you don't put enough to, you know, take a bubble bath, but
exactly.
it didn't hurt, you know, to put it up a little bit on there. So now, you know, I long for some greens. I just don't feel like trying to clean them and all of that, and I don't want the ones frozen, God forbid, no taste. I don't want the ones Glory
right.
already cut up, no taste. I want some good old collard greens, mustard
yes.
greens, or what's the other one? Turnip greens.
Yeah,
but,
kale.
I just
love that
gotta
too.
Make it, well, not the, for me to kale so much, but and that's easy to fix. The kale is not a whole
yeah,
thing, but
it
to wash the collard greens and all of that is a job. It is a job. And I
yeah.
feel for the people that make a quantity. But, you know, sometimes I've been at church, and they have fresh collard greens, and I guess they're washed, but I've seen a rubber band in the greens. I
oh,
mean,
God.
Did you really wash them? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You cut them up so fast, you leave the rubber band and In the
thing, cook
it and serve it.
Don't talk. So, listen, sometimes you find all kinds of things in collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they always tell
that's
you.
That's the cook. That's
yeah.
on the cook. There's
yeah.
a rubber band around
absolutely.
The leaves to keep it together, but you don't keep it on there and try to clean them. And that makes me think, did you even wash them?
Thank you. Man, you got to take the rubber band off.
You got to take the band off and wash each leaf.
Thank you. Every single solitary one of them.
Yeah, front and back.
Yes, ma'am. And then you top, then you wash them again. I wash my greens
yeah.
about 5 times after I take out the dried up ones.
Uh-huh.
After I cut off the stalks, and then,
mm-hmm.
yes, now you looking beautiful. Put them
where
in.
Do you wash yours in? What
warm
do you wash
water.
Them in?
I wash them in
no,
warm
no, I don't
water.
Mean that water. What do you use to clean it, clean them?
Nothing.
Oh, you don't put
you
salt
know.
Or baking powder or baking soda, not powder?
No, I don't put any of that stuff.
Oh, Because you know like I had chemicals on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I had chemicals on it. That's why you put the soap or the salt, a lot of salt to let them kind of, you know, get that chemical off of them. You can wash them nine times to get the chemical off because you didn't put nothing on them, a solvent to get that off.
Mm-hmm. Look like to me you could put a little bit of vinegar in the water because that
could.
White vinegar.
Vinegar doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Vinegar, you know where you can taste vinegar, but you could put a little bit in the water because the vinegar kills. That white vinegar, you can wash down in the toilet. You can wash down sinks, counters. Look like
when you're talking about beans, you talking about cleaning them with the vinegar or when you cooking them?
Yeah, cleaning them with the vinegar. Put a little tiny bit of vinegar
into the water. When you cook them, do you put vinegar in the water too?
No.
Okay, when you're cleaning it
because the vinegar is a thing that cleans a lot. It can clean the floors. White vinegar. You can use white
that's
vinegar.
That's what they put on meat in order to kill the bacteria
the
that's on it.
Mm-hmm. That kills the stuff. So.
But I was saying I put vinegar in the water when it's boiling, like maybe near the end, whatever period of time, a point of time you want to add it. But that gives the greens a very nice taste when you put some vinegar in water, when you season it with that.
Yeah, it gives a nice taste too. It does. It gives a nice taste. Another thing gives a nice taste is I think it's cooking wine or something like that, or sherry or something like that.
In the collard greens?
Yeah, you can put a little bit of wine.
The vinegar with
cooking
the wine?
I used to put a little wine in it. Because I started cooking with I had a book and it was showing you things that you can cook with a little wine, cooking wine. So I used to put it on in meat sometimes. I cook wine and meat. I started throwing a little bit in the collard greens and it tastes good.
The cooking wine.
I mean, you don't have to. I'm just saying I just did that, you know.
Right. I understand.
I put it in meat. I never put it in
the cooking wine.
Yes, the cooking wine.
Yeah. But I love fat back and stuff in the collard greens.
Oh, you real country.
Oh yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I like fat back and stuff in the collard greens and stuff like that. I like that.
Oh yeah, my mom's but she used to put like ham hocks or smoke bones or you know pig knuckles or whatever you call them. And she would still put all of that, and then when it comes down to when it's cooked, then she would fry up some fat back, and then she would pour that oil, not too much, pour the grease of it into the greens, and just let them simmer with those with the hot red peppers. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. And red peppers is good for you, and so is fat.
Just pray that it don't burst. Because if it burst, boy, you're going to be...
Yeah, but you know what? You could burst it yourself and take the seeds out.
Oh, yeah?
What's that?
Before you put it in the pot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The red pepper?
Yeah.
The red cherry, because that's the heat. The heat is in the seeds. So you take out the seeds and still put the body of the red pepper in the greens or the black eyed peas or whatever, and that takes the heat out of it. And if you do like heat some of it in there, some of the seeds, not a lot, some of the seeds, but that gives it a good flavor too. And it also is preserved in vinegar, so you get some of that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of cooking going on.
That sounds good, though, those collard greens.
It really does, collard man. Greens. It really sets up them collard greens, honey. Them red peppers and ham hocks and fried fat back. Oh, my God. We used to fry the fat back and have it in the mornings with hot biscuits and molasses and fried for fat back. Oh, my goodness. That was our breakfast before we went to school or went out to the field.
That's a country breakfast.
Yes, ma'am. Sometimes we have some ham with it, you know, and then there's mornings where we will have fish, fried fish. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, fat fried fish and cornbread.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you be there at the grits?
Yeah, we go down by the river at 5 o'clock in the morning and fish. Come back with the fish. Because, you know, they hungry at that time of morning. And then we clean them up and then have them washed and clean and everything. So when my grandmother, already by the time we going down and come back, all the rest of the stuff she's already cooking, like them grits and stuff. You know, who, girl?
Wow.
So we would eat some for breakfast and the rest we take it out for our lunch. Cuz you know once you get your lunch time, and then after that when we get home, my grandmother already had, you know, the deer meat. She would already have that already seasoned, and then she'd have the she'll tell us to go and get a couple of cabbages and cut up and wash and clean them cabbage, and she will cook them cabbage and that deer meat and some cornbread.
Okay.
Good.
What does the deer meat taste like?
Deer meat tastes like steak.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's not my favorite.
I don't care for the venison.
Oh, my goodness. I don't like venison. Right.
Oh man, if you would have tasted it the way my grandmother made it, girl, you wouldn't even know the difference from steak or deer meat. Some of that you don't know the difference.
Okay, but I have had it and I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like venison. I think somebody gave us some sausages one time. Some venison sausages. Don't like that.
Yeah. I never tasted deer meat made into sausages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would like that one either.
Mm-hmm. Well, it tastes like steak to you.
Yeah, the meat, not that grind up stuff.
It's still meat.
Yeah, but for some reason when you flatten it out and cook it on top of the stove, and then for it to be grind up and made into sausage rolls, nope. I'll stay away from those.
And maybe with the spices that your grandmother put on the meat.
Yeah, could be.
You know, that helps it to taste good.
We grew our own vegetables and stuff, so everything was fresh from the garden.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it tastes different from what they got today.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There was, you know, no chemicals, rather. The only thing we used was fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. That was more healthier.
Yes, it definitely was. And mm-hmm.
You had livestock? Did you have livestock?
Yeah, we had pigs and chickens just pigs and chickens. The other stuff we didn't have, like ducks and things like that.
So we get fertilizer.
Huh?
Fertilizer, where'd you get that?
Oh, we lived on a farm. So the boss man used to give it to my grandfather.
Oh, okay. No, I thought it might have come from your livestock, like the cows or, you know.
Oh, no.
Did you have any kind of refrigeration?
Yeah, we had a freezer. You know those short, wide, flat freezers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a freezer. And that's because that's where we used to store all the meat and stuff for, like, mm-hmm. winter.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And like, when in the winter time, we used to dig, like, a deep hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, and that's where we kept the potatoes and stuff to stay fresh in the ground.
Okay.
Oh.
And when we
in the winter time, okay, what you cook? You pick cotton in the summer, right?
Yes.
Or something in the spring. So in the winter, what did you do? You just stayed in the house?
Yeah, there was nothing we could do. The winters down there was brutal. When it when it snowed, the snow came all the way. It snowed so much that it came up to the porch of the house.
Wow.
That's how deep the snow was. All we could do is just jump in the snow and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that again?
That was in North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s, the late 50s and 60s.
What part of
that was my father's home, Evangelist Hilda?
I'm sorry, what you say, Mother?
North Carolina was my father's home.
Your father is from North Carolina, too?
Yeah, he's from Kinston.
Oh, Kinston.
My father was
Where
from
did you
Kinston.
Live, Douglas?
We lived in a town called Scotland Neck, North Carolina. It's a small town.
A friend of mine lives in Cuomo. You ever heard of Cuomo?
No.
Because
I left there when I was about, you know, almost teenage size.
Because
if they did had all those little towns, I didn't know about them because, you know, we only went like as far as what's the town called? Greenboro, and what's the other one? No, I can't even remember all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Greenville was where everybody went to party because I think they had, like, the clubs and things there. But we live
mm-hmm.
mostly in the countryside.
Right, with the farm.
Yes.
Now, when you moved around, how did you move around? You moved around by a horse or something or by, how did you move around? You know, I'm just
foot.
I'm just
by foot.
I'm always interested in stuff like that.
We walked.
I'm sorry.
We moved around by foot. No,
all right. I just want to know.
My grandfather had the van, the truck. So wherever we had to go, like even like my aunt, they lived. We lived in like where I am here in the Bronx. And my aunts and them live like where my sister lives on 124th Street and 2nd Avenue.
Oh, okay.
And we had to walk that to go to her house.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was
so
a
when
walk.
you started out walking.
Test. Huh?
When you all started out walking, you started out walking very early. How did you?
Yeah. Yes, we had to walk like early in the morning.
Mhm.
But
before
it was
the sun
like,
got too hot.
Ooh, girl, that sun mm-hmm. like you could cook an egg on the sidewalk. That's how hot that sun was, because it was that midday sun.
And was there a lot of trees? Was there a lot of trees and greenery when you was
walking?
Yeah,
but they were not like on the side of the road, because the road that we walked was like a pavement, And it was like
a lot of people walked around with a lot of people walked around with parasols and umbrellas, you know,
yeah,
in the South.
Okay.
I grew up in the South too. I grew up in Florida, born in Orlando, Florida. And a lot of times my grandmother and I would walk to town. It was a small town, Tavares, Florida, but we would walk from where we lived near the railroad track all the way through Colortown, through the court district to shop at like A&P or whatever. There they had the drugstore, the Five and Dime, the barbershop, which is not for us. And, you know, different look. That was the little town. So we would buy things. There were no shopping carts, and we would walk back home with our things. From time to time, our neighbors, our cousin, Cousin Jerry and Aunt Neva, they had a car. So if we wanted to go further, like Leesburg, Florida, to be at the supermarket, we would go, I forgot the name of the supermarket offhand, Piggly Wiggly or something like that.
Winn-Dixie,
not Piggly Wiggly.
Oh,
when we went to Leesburg to go to Winn-Dixie, they would take us by their car. And so you can get a little bit more, you know, and come back by car. But I'm saying we didn't have any shopping carts. They did buy me a bike, but I was a child. I wasn't going nowhere on that bike to do any chores or anything. You know, we lived near the railroad track, which had a trestle, and my grandmother would go to that trestle many times to do some fishing. And so she caught some fish there. Sometimes they would go out on a boat and get a bigger selection of fish or whatever. But I'm just saying that I had to walk. We walked also from place to place, not different towns, but within Tavares itself to do things. That's when my grandmother was working for, as she called it, the white people. You know, she would go and clean their house and take care of their kids and make their hors d'oeuvres and stuff and dinners and stuff for their parties and whatnot.
That's what my grandmother used to do.
Yeah, so I'm saying that fast because I'm trying to get off the line. I have a lot of stuff to do today that you already know. Evangelist Hilda, you know, I'm counting on you to come on with the benediction, and I want you to say something about what you saw, you know, what you think of it, whatever, whatever, okay? Mother, I hope that you can join us. You don't have to join by video. You can join just by calling up. You got the flyer that I sent?
Benediction for what? What are you talking about?
No, I'm not talking about that for you. I'm saying I sent a flyer for you to see the event for tonight.
Tonight? Where are you going
to... I sent a flyer. Did you see a flyer that I sent to your phone?
I saw something on the phone. Yeah, I did.
Okay, that's the flyer with the Zoom address and the telephone number. So it's a spoken word, song, and dance that they're honoring me with tonight.
Okay.
So if you can come on, it would be lovely. And I was just asking Evangelist to come on. Excuse me?
I didn't say anything. I just said, okay.
I was asking Evangelist to do the benediction and say some, I say closing remarks, but I want her to have closing remarks also, okay, after me.
Okay, you just want me, you want me to do the call to salvation also?
No, we don't, no, it's not a church service.
Okay, so just the benediction.
No, I want you to do closing remarks, that's what I'm telling you now. I'm doing closing remarks, but that has nothing to do with the overall picture of the closing remarks. You understand?
So where is this at? Where is this going to be at?
You understand, Evangelist Hilda?
Yes. I hope.
So where's this going to be at?
It's on the flyer, Mother.
Okay. Evangelist Hilda, I want to ask a question. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ever go to any beach or anything?
Go to who?
The beach.
Go to who?
Okay,
no.
I'm going to take that. Bye, ladies. Love you all.
Love you, too.
All right, love you, too.
Have a good one. See you later.
Thank you, you too.
All right.
No, Mother, there was no beach. We had the big old river.
But you did have water, though. You had a body of water that you were able to go to.
We had the river. The house didn't live too far from the river. You know, you can just walk down the path to the river.
Oh, okay, that was very interesting. So, how big was the river? How was it big or?
Oh my goodness! It went from, I have no idea where it started, or even where it ended. All I know is like we were like somewhere in the middle. Or somewhere like quarter way or whatever, but it looked like never ending, but we never was on it, you know.
Okay,
we just go right to the edge of it and play in the water and stuff, because it just kept moving, and we were scared as children. We were afraid that, you know, we could get swept away and never be seen again.
You know, that was good. That was good that you did that, you know, with it, where you had that kind of fear. Because that's probably what could have happened, you know?
Absolutely. My silly cousins and them, they didn't have no fear. They just used to go up the trees and swing on the vine like they Tarzan and jump in the river.
Oh my goodness!
Y'all crazy! What if that current take you away?
I'm telling you,
they just didn't have no fear. They said, "Oh, I can get out." You know, there's because there was like a lot of branches and things that was hanging in the water. Yeah, but you didn't know if there were snakes in there.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any rainstorms?
Oh man, we had rainstorms you wouldn't believe. Our rainstorms used to be so bad that we had to go in the house, lock the door, turn off the light, sit down on the floor by the bed because of the lightning and thundering. You could see it. I mean, like, it would be like cracking and the sky lit up when the flash of lightning and the trees and things were swerving back and forth. And by the next morning when we woke up and went outside, one big tree was split in half, laying on the ground. So we just took it and cut it up and used it for firewood.
Mm-hmm. You was lucky that no tree fell on your house.
Yeah.
You know, people's houses.
Yeah, what they did, and you know, back then, the houses, they weren't like houses of today. They were more like shacks, like you see in the movies. That's how the houses was. Because, you know, the houses was made of wood back in those days.
Yeah.
And so that's where the build, but the trees were like farther away from the house. But you know,
get
like a nice shade when the sun comes out.
Yeah, well, that's what they do now. Like they have a house, and they have a lot of trees there around the house. Or they tell the people, you know, if they own a house, to clear the area, so a lot of trees don't be near your house. So if they have a storm or something, it doesn't fall on your house or something, you know?
Yeah, because it's very dangerous, you know? Like out in Long Island and Queens and places like that, where those trees are uprooted and the first place they fall is on your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some people get killed with those trees.
Absolutely, especially if they're sleeping and the storm is at night.
Yeah, you know what I remember? I remember that they had these bad storms. And, a person would be walking in the park, you know, after a storm or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the tree would be uprooted, but it didn't fall over. And it would fall over on that person and kill the person.
Yeah.
Right here in Brooklyn or something, you know.
Oh, yes.
Because they didn't know the tree. They didn't know the tree was uprooted, you know, for the storm.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've heard of people getting killed like that. You know, they're just walking in the park and the tree just falls right on them.
Why? Because the roots of the trees are not embedded deep enough to really secure that tree in the ground.
Yeah.
And then that's why I think that New York should not have that many trees, because it's basically built on a lot of concrete.
Yeah.
And when you plant the trees, the roots of those trees, they like lifts up the concrete that is on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when the storms come and the good strong wind just blow it right on down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of people being killed like
Absolutely. That.
You know, and they're not in the country; they're in the city. You know what I mean? But they're walking in a park or something, and a tree just falls right over on them and kills them. You know, in the past, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I feel like the trees that they plant, the trees are too large for the concrete. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they fall over when a good storm comes. Because they have nothing really to secure the roots deep down in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always interested in where a person lives and what it's like and stuff like that, you know.
Oh,
That's why with robbing them when they went to Israel and all that, they didn't kind of give me a good description of, you know, what the place was about. You know, they said a few things, but they really didn't give me a good description of stuff. You know, I was like, I'm very interested in where people go, or where they live and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in how you had that experience with your grandparents.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
What kind of refrigeration? People wouldn't think of those kind of things, you know. How did you keep your food?
Don't.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that.
Yeah, we have one of those.
What kind of transportation did you take, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, our transportation was mostly walking, because we pretty much stayed near the house, you know, except for like on Sundays, every once in a while we would go to church, and my grandfather would, you know, we would all be in the back of the truck and just drop us off to church, and then somehow we get a ride back home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you washed your clothes, it was difficult. Did you wash it out on the river? Did you?
No, we had a backyard, and we had, you know, a pump where we pumped the water. So what we did, we would had a big black pot in the middle of the yard or on the side of the yard.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And we would, in that pot, we would boil the clothes first, and then we wash them after we boiled them in this, you know, soap and stuff. And then we wash them out, rinse them out real good, and then we hang them on the clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
So when we was running out of soap, we would take that same big black pot, and we would fill it up with, you know, all kinds of fat back and stuff that, you know, old grease and stuff like that. And then we would pour, you know, can of lye into it and just stir it around until everything, you know, because lye will eat up anything. That, like, I mean, it ate up all that fat back and everything until it was nothing. And then we let it sit overnight.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the lye.
Yeah, but that lye was good lye because, honey, it cleaned the white. The sheets were so white. I used to love to sit on the porch, right, and watch the sheets and them flying
in the breeze when the wind is blowing, and how beautiful and white they look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about the lie because years ago, a woman and a man had an argument or something like that, and I think she threw a lie in his face.
Yes.
Thinking about that long time ago, you know.
Oh yeah, that's the back in the day. That was a woman's defense.
Yeah.
You know, when the husbands and them start beating on them and when they, you know, and things. So and then after a while, the woman just get tired of it, and they would get them a bottle of Coca-Cola and put some lye in it, and when they come at them,
horrible.
They throw it on them.
Oh my God.
And then you see the flesh just hanging out.
Oh Lord, let's get off of that one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, with the hanging the clothes on the line.
Yes.
I was thinking about my mother-in-law when I used to go to her house when Robert was little.
Yeah.
Robert was a baby.
Uh-huh.
And she had gotten upset with me because she thought I ironed my diapers. You know, Robert's diapers?
Yeah, I used to iron my baby diapers.
I didn't iron them, but this is what used to happen. I had a clothesline, and when I washed the diapers, I used to just straighten them out on the clothesline.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the sun and everything, the air and all of that would make the diapers look smell good and all of that, just like you said with the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would fold it up, so it looked like I ironed
you
those
ironed
diapers,
them.
But
yes.
I really didn't. You know.
Yeah.
So she got you and I had a big argument. She thought I ironed his diapers. She was telling me that she thought I was better than them or something to that effect. I said, I don't iron his diapers. I just put them out on the line.
What if
you
did? That's your choice.
Well, she was young. She was, you know, I don't know. It's just the attitude she had at that time, you know. But I explained to her that I don't iron his diapers. I just put them on the line straight, you know, with a clothespin, so they don't come out with a wrinkle. So when I fold them up, they look like I ironed them, you know, with the sun and everything. Okay, I didn't iron his diapers. But that was that's what came to my mind, because when you hang out clothes, it's so much different from when you put them in the dryer, you know.
Yes.
They smell different. They smell good.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of miss the clothesline.
I used to love to wash the sheets and diapers and stuff and put them on the line and let them blow. And when you take them in and you start to fold them up, they smell so refreshed and clean.
That's right. True.
They weren't perfumey, you know? Because I don't know what that lie did to that soap, but it made that soap make the clothes smell so fresh and clean.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. And,
it really
and,
did.
I used to like to see all kind of lingerie and stuff on the line, you know, slips and things like that, socks, you know. I kind of miss that, you know. Kind of missed the clothesline, I was thinking. Yeah. So you're going to be on today with Sister Barbara.
Mother, are you far away from the phone?
No, I'm not. I'm just sitting here. Can you hear me now?
No, it's probably your Bluetooth. You have on the Bluetooth?
No, I'm just talking in the phone into my phone.
No, because it's like when you're talking, it's muffled. It's probably need charging or something.
No, it's on. It's at 45 now, 45%.
Now I don't understand anything you're saying.
No, you don't understand? Well, then maybe that means you need to get off the phone. Get off this phone, right?
It sounds like a piano playing.
No, I don't have
every,
no piano
every
playing.
Time you talk, it's not your voice that is the sound is like a piano playing. He's like hitting a note by note by note.
I mean, did that sound like that when I was giving the sermon? I hope it didn't sound like that when I was giving the sermon.
There it goes. It sound like do re mi fa si fa se. But anyway, I am going to let you go. It's 12:04. I know it's time for your breakfast.
Sure is. You have breakfast already?
Me, yeah. I'll be up at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And then I get up and make
my breakfast.
I know. Yeah. So I will see you again on Saturday, God's willing, and all is
all right.
So you have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
I will. Love you, Mother.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
All the praise belongs to you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.